Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everyone. We thank you all for tuning in to High Praise Cathedral, live right here in Inkster, Michigan, with Bishop Clarence and Prophetess Joyce Hatton, who are pastors. And we just thank the Lord that this is the day that he has made, and we are rejoicing, and yes, we are glad in it. We want to say God bless to all of you. Happy Sunday to all of you in Africa, here in the USA, to those that are in Italy, in the UK, Hong Kong, China, in the Caribbean, Tobago, Barbados, Trinidad, Jamaica, Switzerland, everywhere around the globe. We just want to say God bless you. We thank God for your life. We want to take you into the sanctuary right now, and we pray that you will be blessed by this great service. Again, happy Sunday, and God bless you. We're going to take you right now into a wonderful service.
Every head bow,
Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you for seeing us through everything that's going on, Lord. Not only here, Lord, but across the nation. God, we ask you to touch every heart, every mind that stands in the presence. God, without you, we have nothing. Nowhere, Lord. God, Lord, you created us, Lord, you are our Savior. We ask you, Lord, to touch every leader in every country, Lord, every soul across the nation. We are all with you. You, our Savior, Lord. Lord, everyone that knows you, Lord, Jesus, hallelujah. Have mercy, Lord. God, you know the conditions, Lord. In every country, the weather, God, you see us through it. We are able to see and go through it, Lord. No matter what it is, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. Because if it wasn't for your mercy, Lord, we wouldn't be here. We give you thank you, Lord. For every month, everywhere, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, let's give God a praise. We'll see if we can go back about 1959. I'll have nothing, you may be seated, separate me from his love. I'll have nothing, separate me from his love. Yeah.
It's all right. I've been
It's a strange thing that I have noticed from the time I was a child. The word that flows from a man's lip and a woman's lip, I love you, made a great impact. John, he deals in many places in the Word of God upon the subject of love. He identifies love. In John 4:24, he says, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is utterly impossible to worship God and not love him. It is utterly impossible for a person to be spiritual and don't have the love of God within them. Because he says in 1 John 4 and 8, God is love. So what keeps a man or a woman from loving is obviously they don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the ability to even love your enemy. I think Tina Turner wrote a song after the violent marriage she experienced and all the love she tried to give to Ike. She comes out with a song, What's Love Got to Do With It? Because of all she had done, yet Ike seemed not to appreciate her. If you watch the movie, you see how he battered her even in the middle of rehearsals. If something went wrong in a rehearsal, I saw it. I know y'all saw it. Some of y'all did. He put everybody out the studio. And he come in some beating on Tina. Even going into another city to do a concert, getting off the airplane, sometimes he'd be battering her in the limousine. When he get out of the hotel, she had to run away and go somewhere and hide. That's why she came with the song, What's Love Got to Do With It? Love has everything to do with it. You heard me say before, and I say today, that medical science has discovered that the largest number of its persons in the hospital, 75% of them are bad because of the lack of love. I never knew that love had such an impact. Hate is the opposite of love. But any man or woman that has the Holy Ghost cannot but love. The love letter of the Holy Scriptures in St. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Which really says, when you truly identify love, love is sacrificial. It causes one to sacrifice to show his or her love to the person or the object person that they love. We buy gifts. We buy rings, we buy cars, we even go and buy homes because we love someone. We do all we can to make that person know that we truly love. So that means that love has action. It's more than just saying it. You have to show it. You cannot really love without showing it. That's why Jesus said, I want you disciples to love one another and identify to the world who you really are. One of the worst things to be is a person that calls himself a disciple but don't have the ability to love someone. To say you're saved, to say you have the Holy Ghost, but yet you can't love someone. It goes as far as to say it really challenges a born-again believer that they should even learn to love their enemy. The person that does you wrong, the person that abuses and amuses and misuses you, you have to learn to love them. I found out that love defeats everything else. If you got an enemy that don't love you and you love them back, it sort of kills that spirit. They begin to feel embarrassed. I'm doing this to this person, they're showing me love. I just can't do it anymore. It makes me look worse. So we have to learn to love in spite, because first they love in spite. The only thing that makes a marriage last is that one of the two have to learn how to stand by their promise to love in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Sometimes the things don't go the way some people want to go. After making their vows, they break it. Wife gets sick. Wife has a stroke. Husband gets sick. And the wife leaves the husband because he can no longer serve her. The wife leaves the husband because he don't have a job anymore. We don't marry for job. We marry for love. Love lasts beyond all other inabilities. I hope I'm helping somebody today. The preacher said, who am I preaching to? I don't know who am I talking to. If you're here today and you've been saying you love, it's time for you to prove it by showing that you love by your actions. What did we say years ago? Action speaks. So here Jesus is saying, I want you to challenge what I'm telling you. Love one another. Because when you love one another, then everybody else will be able to know that there's something that's special about the church. The church should not have bickering and fussing and fighting and jealousy. God didn't die for that. He died for you to be cleansed from that. Before you got into the church, yes, you could do that. People do it all the time. People kill one another because of jealousy and envy and strife. But in the church, therefore, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, thank you. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The reason why we are saved today is while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. When you were in the world doing your, as you so-called, doing your thing, everything opposite of what God told you. Can you think of these three things you did in the world before God saved you, when God could have turned from you? When you was drinking alcohol, God could have turned from you. When you was on drugs, God could have turned from you. When you was committing fornication, God could have turned from you. So I said, well, that's natural. It's not natural unless it's legally done. Fornication is not natural unless you're married. I hate to keep on harping on that, but it's the truth. The Bible says, you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. You don't have no business being pregnant if you're not married. That's not love. You know what that is? That's lust. That's what that is. That's love. So what we need to do is teach people how to do things correctly and right. If you do things right, then there's no condemnation. When you're not saved, you do anything. But there's an enemy. That's why you have to be redeemed and washed in the blood of the Lamb so you can become what? A new creature. A new creature born of the water and born of the spirit. Somebody said, well, that's not necessary. I was talking to someone on the phone the other day. Said, well, you know, St. John 10 says, all you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. It's more to it than that. When you confess the Lord, you say, I love you, Lord. I love what you did for me. I appreciate what you did for me. Now I want to serve you for what you did for me. You died on the cross. You gave your life to me, so I will be baptized and be identified with your death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism is all about. We say baptism washes away your sins. A baptism identifies you with Christ. We go on to say it washes away your sins, but it identifies you with Christ. To say, I see what the Lord did, so I want to enact what the Lord did, and I want to do it by his name, because it is him who did it, so I want to identify. That's why the Apostolic Church preaches baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that did it all. Somebody say amen. I'm not going to preach long. He's the one that did it all. So if he did it all, we need to recognize that to be baptized in the name of the one who was beaten, smitten, spit upon, hung on the cross, died, got up on the third day on time, no death could hold his body down. He got up just like he said. So those of us who believe that, we're baptized in his name, signifying that I accept what the Lord did. And when you accept the Lord did, when you rise, you have that same love and intensity that he had for us when we were out of order, when we were doing wrong. He had that same love. Amen. And I want you to understand, we need to recognize the love of Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, I command you, and you're commanding, I give it to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you are a disciple, this word is intensifying that you should really continue to love one another. Nothing, nothing shall be able to separate you from obeying the command of God. I'll ask you something. Do you really love the Lord? Let me see the hands of you who really love the Lord. If you really love the Lord, then you abide by his word. You don't have to be told or made. There's something on the inside of you. When you first met that young lady, she would look at a certain way, and it's just not God. It was like love at first sight. Praise the Lord. And you loved her from that day. And then as time went on, the enemy got involved because you come from two backgrounds, two cultures. Sometimes she don't do what you like. Sometimes you don't do what she like. She don't like. And so now you don't kind of get along. But because of love, it keeps you together. You accept those things. Everything in a marriage is not always hunky-dory. But there's times when you don't like some things and you run into some difficulties, so you have to learn how to continue to stand by your confession. Your confession is when you started out, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. But you know what? As we laid on that land, if she didn't wash them dishes and clean up that house, you're a man at you, baby. So I want you to get that right. So now let's understand. Love overlooks a multitude of faults. She didn't get up this morning and then fix the breakfast. The love overlooked. That's all right, baby. You get it together. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes Sister Hadn't miss it. But we're still together 39 years because we still love each other. So you can't just up and divorce and run away or get another lover because something went wrong at home. Then you're out of order. Somebody say amen. The Bible teaches us, and the Bible teaches us that we will love how long till we get mad at each other? No, the Bible teaches us that we must love until death do us part. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, well, when can you get mad after your wife died? According to the word, you get mad the next day. But it's out of respect that you don't do that the next day. You spent too many valuable times together, so you don't discredit the times you've been together. If you wanted to, if your companion's husband died, just put it on me. If I die, Sister Hattie can come to my funeral with another husband. But she won't do that out of respect of the time we spent together and the years we spent together. So she'll wait a while. But legally, according to the vows, she can come to my funeral with a new husband. Legally. But we love each other and we don't throw out the past. We hold on to the daggers of our past. We have children together. We got grandchildren together. So we don't want to just up and think, well, if you're gone, that's it. Throw it out like you throw out a bottle. You know, you respect each other and you love each other and you hang on in there and think of the wonderful memories. I remember when the news came to me, I was driving through the East and my wife, Rose Roy, I was an international speaker at the time, and the phone rang and I picked up the phone and said, Mama died. And I was driving the Rolls Royce that night, and I said, Lord, I thank you for my mother. I appreciate the time we spent. You took her early. She's only 59 years old. You took her early, but I went immediately to the past. I thank you for the vacations. I thank you for all the wonderful things she did while we lived together. I thank you for all the wonderful things she did for me, the personal things, the many nights she walked in the room and would cover my brother and I up. Make sure we were warm, tuck the pillows, and make sure the things are, I thank you for that. So you got to remember all the past. You just don't throw the past away. The past is valuable. And the past was based on how much you love. I'm going to ask you a question. How much do you love the person you love? Wave your hand if you love it intensely, because you have to understand, love is not a trick. It's not just a word, but it's an action word. You walk by it. You live by it. You hang on to it. Women even let a man change their last name. Sister Hadden was a Lester, but she loved me so much, she took on the head. Then all her children took on the head. Why? Because she loved. And everybody that's married, the woman loves you enough to change her last name and come under your name and serve you and love you and stand by you. So now what we have to do, we are born again believers. We are under the same name. That name is above every name. And that name every knee shall bow. And every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are Jesus' children. Somebody tell me, Jesus' child. Jesus is my Father, and he loved me enough. When I was in sin, when I was out of order, he loved me anyhow. If you look back and see where he brought you from, the places you used to go, you wouldn't want to be caught up in that now. If you see where God brought you from, the kind of spirit you had a mean, evil, cussing, damnable spirit, but God has transformed your life and made you new. You don't cuss no more. You don't gamble no more. You don't do the things against the will of God anymore. You love the Lord, and that's why we can say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and just in the light from heaven filled my soul. He filled my soul with love, and he wrote my name above. I just love the Lord with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, and I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Do I have any witnesses in the house? We've got the love that Jesus loves. If you're Jesus' child, you have the spirit of him. I look like my mother because she bore me for 9 long months. When I looked at my sisters and brothers in the family picture, I said, my God, blood is something else. How is it that my father can impregnate my mother and I stay in her womb for 9 months and come out looking like her? But on the other hand, my brother stayed in the same womb and come out looking like my daddy. Now, I want you to understand that's all because of love. And we have the same blood. We don't look alike. We have the same blood. You may be white in here. You may be black in here. You may be poor in here. You may be rich in here. But Jesus is our Father. And so that's why we ought to praise God and give God praise for what he's done. We can't get upset with the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're born again, you can't get mad at the truth. I'm here because I love the Lord. Everything is always, has not always gone my way. Everything is not always going my way. So I got a message from my son in California, and he wasn't telling me off. He said, "Daddy, my friends and I watched you on YouTube. We watched you preach." He said, "Daddy, I want you to do something for me." I said, "What?" He says, "Stop preaching so hard. See, you're not as young as you used to be." And he said, "You don't have nothing to prove to anybody. You preached all your life." He said, "I want you just to stand there and talk to people. You can tell people the truth, and people can be set free, and you don't have to holler and hoot." And I thought about it. He wasn't talking against me. He was telling me that because he loved me. He don't want me to hurt myself. Praise the Lord. I had a son yesterday. He said, "Daddy, you out there in that weather?" I said, "Yes, son. I was looking for some glasses. I need to give you some new glasses." He said, "You can go another day. It's bad out there." I said, "It ain't that bad. I'm in a car. It's warm. And I get out of the car and go to the doctor's office and then get back in the car. I'm not walking in. I'm not catching a bus. I'm not coming in. I'm in a car. The heat is on." He said, "Yeah, but it's a mess out there." "It ain't that bad because I ain't in the mess." But he didn't tell me. He wouldn't put me down. He would say, "I love you, man. I don't want nothing to happen to you." When a preacher stands up in the pulpit and tells you you're wrong again, sin, he ain't putting you down. He's telling you to get you straight because he loves you. You ought to hold preacher to tell you when you're wrong. You ought not go along with people because they just let you try and do what you want to do. You need a preacher to tell you when you're wrong. You need a preacher to love you. If you love, I love you, I will tell you the truth. If I don't tell you nothing but your money, I ain't going to tell nothing. But I love the money you give me back. You give me $1 million. If you wrong, I'm going to tell you wrong. If you want to take it back, take it back. But I'm going to tell you the truth. It's all about truth. So therefore, I want to talk about and encourage you about the intensity of love. We've been fasting and praying for 30 days. And I think we need to break the spirit of anger, anything that's been going on. And I'm here to do something right now. I want you to go to three people and tell them I love you with the intensity of love. And I want you to go to the person that you had a misunderstanding with. You got to do that first. Don't go to the person next to you. Don't take your uncle and aunt and all that. Go to people that you know you had a misunderstanding with and tell them, I love you with intensity of love. Go ahead on. Tell them, I love you with intensity of love. I really love you. I don't care what is going on between us. I love you anyhow. Now, if you don't have a Holy Ghost, if you can't do it, you'll never be able to do it. You ain't got no spirit, you can't do it. But if you got the Holy Ghost, you can get up and do it because the truth is setting you free right now. That's the message for the day. That's what God wants. We just destroy the enemy. We just put the enemy under our feet for the intensity of love. Hallelujah. Thanks, the Lord. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea could not rise from the rock of liberty. My Savior, son's wedding, and he broke news to his mother and I and those that traveled that they'd already got married, because he felt like, I need to be married. I shouldn't be living in sin. And he went on and got married ahead of time. And when we arrived in California, he broke the news. I was eating. A lot of people laughed at me because when he said, Daddy, you're already married, I said, he said, Daddy, I got mad because you would not even bless my baby. You wouldn't even bless my child. You just put me down. I said, son, you was in sin. 3 million people responded, said, Bishop, we found out that you're a real man of God because you wouldn't even go easy on your son. I'm here responsible as a leader to tell people when they're wrong, when they're right. I said, son, you have sinned. You've fallen short. And you have to be restored. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm your bishop. I'm your pastor and your father. And you must be restored. I said, when I restore you, then I lay hands on your baby. I restored him. He bowed before me and I restored him. Right after the episode ended. That's why you saw me get up the day of the wedding and bless this child. I just do not condone sin. You don't need to be a member of a church where a preacher condones sin. We need to understand and know that we need to be cleansed from sin. That's one thing I grew up in. I grew up in this church, and you did too. We were under a man. He wasn't the world's greatest preacher, but he sure made you know when you were in sin. He had to call you an altar. He called you and said, I saw him set a man down for a whole year for sin. Him and the deacon board. The church is the place where we have to be reckoned with God. This is no playhouse. This is the church of the living God. You must walk the Lord. I don't want to pass a group of people and preach the law and they may still be lost. I'm trying to get you ready for the coming of the Lord. If there's anybody here today that doesn't have their life in place, this is the place to come. Get up out of your seat. That's what these tell us. Get up out of your seat and come down this aisle. I recognize that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and we have to start getting ourselves ready for his return. If you're not saved, you will not go to heaven. I don't care how beautiful you look. I don't care how someone told you they love you and all that. You need to be right with God. And we should sing that song, Get Right With God. And do it now. Get right with God. I will show you how. Down at the cross, where it shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. So if you're here today, start coming down the aisle. Anybody that knows you're not saved, if the Lord will come at any time, get up out of your seat. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Come on. Come on. Whoever you are, man, woman, or girl, to be right. Lord, get right with God. And do it now.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you all for tuning in on today. We thank the Lord for that great, powerful message by Bishop Clarence Hatton on love. And I'm here to let you know that God loves you and that the angel of melody, angel on deck, loves you too. God bless. Tune in on tomorrow morning as the angel on deck show continues with great music by our ministering artists around the world. Again, happy Sunday. God bless you.